open to Mark chapter 1. We've been doing a study. Sorry, we need to dismiss the children. Thank you so much. Parents, please just lay your hands on your children. Let's pray with them as they go to their class. Thank you so much. Let's pray for our children. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor for the opportunity to walk in your footsteps, to be parents to our children. Lord, as they go to their class, we bless you, we exalt you, we commit them into your holy hands. We pray that as they go, you who is God that has anointed their teachers to teach them, will begin to let the oil flow, O Lord. And that as they go, they will be able to connect with their teachers and be able to grasp what you want them to learn for the rest of their life. And that whatever they learn today will fully germinate and grow, and that they can live the life that you have called us to live as children of God. Be blessed, Lord God, as you are with them and with us here. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Children, you are dismissed. Is there no nursery today? Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much. Our children are going. Do you see how suddenly the place is starting to be quiet? Oh my goodness. You know, I'm really praying, yeah. I'm sure when our boys grow up and they have to leave home, we will dread it, baby. We will dread it. But I can't wait for them to grow up and begin to be quiet in the house, honestly. Sometimes I'm like, Joe, please just be quiet for a while. Just be quiet. And that young man would say anything that comes into his mind. He doesn't know how to filter things, you know. And apparently, that was how I was from childhood. My mom used to get in trouble so many times. So many times. So many times. So we thank God for bringing us together again. We are continuing in our study on worship. We are looking at gospel-shaped worship. And it's going to be a 7-week study, which is in alignment with the first mission statement that we have, worshiping Jesus Christ. And so for the beginning of this year, we want to begin it with the right focus, that Jesus is really whom we need to worship. Jesus has to be, we have to be in alignment with Jesus. We have to be in a position where this so-called worship, this Christian worship, is not just a thing we do. It's not a routine thing that we do, but really a thing that we do from a place of conviction. You get what I'm trying to say? A place of really realizing that Jesus dying for you and I deserves everything that is within us, everything that is with us, our full ultimate attention. And that nothing else should take the place, the attention of Jesus in our life at all. Nothing else. Even though there are really good things in our lives, they should never ever be important than Jesus. That is what the gospel-shaped worship is all about. The worship that is based on the dying of Jesus Christ, the being buried for 3 days and being resurrected on the third day and being seated on the right-hand side of the Father. He ascended to heaven and he is now seated on the Father's side as our high priest. The thought of these things that Jesus has done for you and I should influence the way we worship him, should influence the way we worship God. It should influence the way we live our life. You see, had Jesus not come to die, there would not be anything like hope. There would not be anything like joy. I mean, can you imagine this world without Jesus? Some of us that we are seated here, it is only because of Jesus that we are the fine, nice people that we are seated here. Some of us might have been the Osama bin Ladens by now.
Some of us might have been the so-called wicked people on this earth by now. Some of us might have been the worst rapist in this world by now. Some of us might have done some atrocities that it's easy to look at people who do not know Jesus and say these things about them, but we would have been in the same boat with them. But Jesus' death on the Calvary cross liberated you and I from the power of sin. That because of the blood of Jesus, the so-called wickedness that was with us, God has by his grace washed it and cleansed it, and now we are renewed. We are renewed. We thank God. And because of that, you cannot take your journey with him as a joke. 2019 was somewhat somehow. This year, you can't take it for joke or for granted. Let it begin well. We have begun well. We are fasting. We are praying. Oh, and the testimonies in the house. I wish I live in the Quiones family's house. Hey, I hand this up. You want to share a testimony? Come, please. Feel free. Yafi, come. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Share a testimony.
So last Thursday, so Hannah plays basketball. She's on a team. And during her game, she twisted her ankle. It was awful. She was on the floor screaming, crying. They had to call the paramedics in, and we took her to the hospital, and they said it was a bad sprain. So then on the following Monday, we went to the orthopedic, and they said her whole foot and her ankle was sprained. It was really bad. She couldn't put weight on it, nothing. So then, what day? Wednesday? I think it was Wednesday. We came home from Bible study. Right? Or was it Thursday? I don't know. So we came home from Bible study, and we looked at her foot, and it was just so swollen. So the swelling should have gone down because it was already a week later, and it was just getting worse. She couldn't feel it. It was like pins and needles. It was numb. It was just really bad. She was getting like this ball in the bottom of her foot. So we thought we might have to take her back to the ER because it was getting worse, and she had no sensation, which meant, like, circulation. There was no circulation, so I go to Sam. I'm like, no, go get the oil. So we got the oil. He went. We prayed, and the next morning when we went to check on her, there was no swelling. There was no pain. She walked out of her room with no crutches. She just got up and started walking out. So that's one. We have lots and lots of testimonies that happened this week, but that was just so God is still working and God is still moving. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. There is also more testimonies in this house. I tell you, if we begin, we won't go home. But we're going to be having testimony service, like our night vigils. Please prepare yourself for our night vigil. Every first Friday of the month. So February is coming, and we're going to have our first night vigil. We will do a night of testimonies. People will come and share their testimonies. We will have faith. We will believe. We will pray. We will trust God. I'm telling you, the kingdom of darkness is in trouble this year. The kingdom of darkness is in trouble because Jesus is really risen. And so you and I, as we begin to study and realign ourselves with Jesus, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Oh, sometimes I wish I had my English accent. Oh my goodness. I think one day we'll let Sister Tiri come and speak in English a bit. You know, Jumi's English is going to be low. She's fresh in town. She can really release it on us and give us some British anointing here, you know. God bless you so much. Thank you so much for coming to worship with us today. God bless you. So please, if you are in your Bibles, are you all in Mark? Let's go to Mark chapter 1, verse 14, verse 15. Mark chapter 14, verse 15. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 15. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 15. We thank God so much for bringing us together. Now, shall we please hear the word of God? Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Let us pray, please. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus you've given for us. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came to die for us. Thank you for your renewal work you're doing in our life. Thank you for your blood that cleanses us and purifies us. Thank you that your blood has purchased us from the power of sin. We bless you. We exalt you. And Lord, we yield to you and we pray that your Holy Spirit will have his way among us. Spirit of our living God, we pray in Jesus' name that you will take maximum authority over everything we do here. And we pray, oh Lord Almighty, I purposely want to pray and say, give me clarity of speech as I speak to your people. I pray that they will catch a glimpse of what you desire to do with us, oh Lord, and that we shall all take away from here what you have for us. Go home, live the life that you are calling us, and that we will begin to be winners. We will begin to walk winning souls for you in Jesus' mighty name. Spirit of our living God, this we pray. We thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. And so when you look at the verse 15, the B part, the writer says, at hand, Jesus said, at hand, repent, believe in the gospel. Today I'm speaking on the subject, repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel. From verse 14, the first part saying that now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee. John was a great man that came to pave way. He was the person that anointed and baptized Jesus. He was the person that came speaking about Jesus, the work that the Savior was coming to do. There's so much written about him. If you want to see more on who and the person of John, you can look at Mark chapter 6, 17 to 28. A lot is written on what he did. But the writer says that he was put in prison. Basically, his work on earth was coming to an end. And so Jesus came to Galilee. That is where Jesus' ministry began from, Galilee. Josephus, who is an ancient historian, great historian, he wrote so much about Galilee. Josephus says that Galilee is about 60 by 30 thousand miles, and there are 204 villages with none less than 15,000 people. Can you imagine this? And this means that there were about 3 million people in existence in one region. That region in itself alone had about 3 million people, and it was a place that was more like a multi-ethnic, multicultural environment. That place had Jews and people who were non-Jews and all that in that same place. Even though they all lived there, they had their areas where they lived. The Jew and the non-Jew all living in one area. And so you would understand why it would make sense for Jesus to start his ministry from there. He had the opportunity because Jesus says that he did not come only for the Jew, but he came for all of us, the Gentile. He came for the rest of the world. And so such a place became a place where Jesus really spent most of his time. He would go to Jerusalem, into the temple, and then he would come back to Galilee. That is where he was spending most of his time. And it is similar to the world that we live in now. I mean, USA is one of the most diverse worlds in the world, places in the world, especially like if you live in a place like New York or closer to New York. We just have met Thierry, who have come all the way from UK. We also relocated from UK. Come on, there's something good in this land, man. Americans here, don't think you're living in a riff-raff world. British people like here too. And let me tell you, not just British people, Africans also love here. I'm born as an African and I love being here. Since I've been here, you've treated me so nice. The land has shown me favor in a unique way. God brought me here to bless me. You know, and I'm not the only one. There are some Caribbeans here, you know. They have also come from their land and they are being a blessing here. So you can see that even as we sit here, there are some of us who have Spanish backgrounds, you know. And it was like that. Some of us have German backgrounds. German. I always have to remind myself when I'm mentioning her last name that, hey, you got to put some twist on it. You know, one time I caught her in my office and I said, please teach me how to mention your last name. Because I didn't want to embarrass myself, you know. Many of us here are of different backgrounds. We all come from different backgrounds. And it was similar in that time. And Jesus gets the opportunity, and the writer says that preaching, in the verse 2, he says, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom, sorry, in the verse 15, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, believe in the gospel. So Jesus began to preach. Jesus did not begin by making miracles. Jesus was not a miracle maker. Jesus was a preacher. Even though he performed miracles, miracles wasn't his focus. Preaching was his focus. He began, he said, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Jesus came to preach the kingdom. Jesus focused on talking about the kingdom. You see, when Jesus came, the Jews were looking for their liberator from the Roman Empire. He came in a time where the Jews were very oppressed and suppressed by the Roman Empire. And so the Romans were looking for their savior. And also, in that same vicinity, there were people from different backgrounds. The Gentiles, they were called. They were not respected by the Jews. And the Romans controlled them too. And so, it was in a world where they were looking up for a certain person. A political liberator. But Jesus, starting and preaching the kingdom, he brought a kingdom of love. There was a time, they were in times when they needed love because many of them were being oppressed. And even the Jewish leaders were not being kind and nice to them. They were taking from them, they were mistreating them and abusing them. So Jesus brought a message of love. The kingdom of God was about love. The word of God says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus began to preach about grace, not in law. You see, the Jews looked up to, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do that. Not just that, the Romans were also oppressing them with their laws. You've got to pay your taxes, you've got to do this, you got. If you do this, you do this, you do that, you do that, you do that, you do that. And somehow, you will be okay. But people weren't being okay. They tried to do all this, and they were still in turmoil. So Jesus didn't come to preach the law. He brought grace. He brought grace. You see, the kingdom of God is also about humility, not pride. You see, their rulers were going around with their shoulders dressed up and all that. Showing them, they were undermining them. The poor was really poor. But Jesus, we all understand, was even born in a manger. The Son of God, the creator of this world. He was born in a manger. In a place where sheep were kept. Sheep was kept. Come on. Jesus grew up from among the most poorest people. I mean, if you hear Jesus' story in itself, it should encourage you to want to follow him. How can this guy be born in a manger? Yeah, the things to even survive when there, that he took some kings from other places to come and bless him. And the boy that was born from a manger, his name is now the most highest name in this world. Amazing. He was a humble person. Jesus also preached the came for all men. The kingdom is for all men and women, all people, both man, both woman. That time, the woman's place was pushed to the side. As a matter of fact, they took census without counting women. The culture undermined the place of a woman. The women were treated like commodities. If you marry the woman, she's your thing. And Jesus came and began to preach a good news, a kingdom, presented a message that was for all people, not just for the Jew. The Jew only saw himself as he was special because he was from the root of Adam. Abraham. And so forget whoever you are, a Jew sees himself as he's better than you. He's the called one. But Jesus came for the Gentiles too, you and I who are not from Abraham's bloodline. But today, in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the grace of our Lord Jesus, we can also inherit the blessings of Abraham. And you see, Jesus came to present a kingdom that can be received voluntarily. The kingdom of God is voluntary. It's not compulsory. Jesus was preaching. He said, repent. The kingdom is not compulsory. You can't choose not to worship God, give any deity to this God, give any honor to this God. Do your own thing. You can do that. God doesn't impose himself on any of us. Jesus didn't come to impose himself on any person. Look, as a matter of fact, Jesus going around preaching the gospel, he had power on this earth. Jesus didn't just go around beginning to heal people and if he saw you, I heal you in Jesus' name. No. People called for him. People came to him. He was about preaching the gospel. And as he focused on preaching the kingdom, people came and he did miraculous works. And so those of us who have begun, for some reason, when God is able to use you, the Holy Ghost use you to create some healing, you become a healer and not a preacher anymore. We have so many healers in this world these days, miraculous people. All they focus on is miracles and do not preach the gospel. They do not preach the agenda of heaven. It's all about, I will heal you. And sometimes there is even a price for the healing. There is a price for the healing. And Jesus came preaching the gospel, preaching the kingdom, preaching the kingdom. Repent. Repent was the message. He said, the writer says that he's saying. Jesus went around saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus went around saying, didn't go around saying, I want to heal you, come let me heal you. No. He was preaching. But it's amazing here. The writer says the time is fulfilled. Jesus says that the time is fulfilled. You see, there are two ancient words that can be used to, Greek words that can be used to translate what a time is. Chronos, which means simply that the chronological order of things. That is chronos. But guess what? The word that Jesus used is kairos. Kairos means the strategic opportunity, the decisive time. The decisive time. So what Jesus was doing then was saying that, look, at this moment in time as I speak to you, it is in God's agenda, the Creator's agenda. It is ultimate. It is the plan at this moment that you repent. It is God's time. It is what has been agreed and arranged. It is decisive. And he's saying that this is your opportunity to encounter God. And as you and I are seated here, I want to remind you that this is our opportunity to receive God. This is our opportunity, the time in season. There is a time for everything under the sun. But now that you are seated here, you got to understand that you are not here by mistake. You are not here by some concord. Even if Satan really wanted to mess up your life and he led you to come here, you being here is ordained by God for a particular reason, that today you encounter Jesus. Maybe the troubles that you had made you run into this place today. But the trouble that brought you here, it is even in God's plan that today you come and receive your freedom from that trouble. It is in God's timing. It is the appointed time. It is the appointed time. Saying, repent. Saying, repent. Saying, repent. When Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom of God, he wanted people to know what entering the kingdom was like. They could not enter. You see, that time, as I told you, the people that he's speaking to, everybody is doing their own thing. The rich was being rich by extortion. The priest was being priest by doing his own thing. The Gentiles were worshiping their gods, their idols. And so it was a world where chaos was going on. And Jesus wanted them to understand that they cannot come to this God, this true God, by living the way they are living. They have to turn around from their ways. Their regular ways, their known ways, the kingdom of God, the kingdom that Jesus was presenting, he wanted them to know that it is not a thing of, oh, something else. You know, if you really wanted to be part of this God's kingdom, you have to really turn around. Repent. 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 It is okay to have feelings. Oh, I feel so bad for the way I'm living my life. Pastor, I don't like how I am. I don't like the things I do. I will cry with you to me. Oh, my brother. Sometimes I might be faking it. You know? And I will go on with you in your so-called crying and it's good to not feel good about what is happening or what you're doing, how you're living your life. It is good. But you see, the word repent is an action. And so it is not a feeling, it is not a thought, it is a decision and an action not to continue doing what you are doing. You see, you cannot claim that you are worshiping this God that is ultimate, that is all powerful, that is all knowing, that is your creator, that is your savior, and continue doing the things that you do, the things that he came to die to save you from. You can't. You need to turn away. You need to give up on them. You see, Jesus was trying to point to them how the kingdom of God was like. And before they can come into this kingdom that is preaching, they have to be willing to leave their kingdom behind. Themselves behind. And look up to this. You see, you all know, I guess by now, know that my family and I, my wife and I, we relocated from UK. I used to like USA. I've never been to America before. When I came to America, it was my first time in New York City. We landed in New York City in the night, and I came out of the plane. I was like, wow, is this America? I have never been to America. I had heard good things about America. I had heard bad things about America. But I had to come, you see, I had to be willing to leave my British lifestyle, my British being, to get on a plane and to come into USA. To experience, to truly, truly, really begin to experience the way USA is like. And so now, as I speak to you, I don't behave like a British person. You know, I'm consciously leaving Britain behind. You see, when I left Ghana to go to Britain, I had to consciously leave Ghana behind and begin to take on what Ghana was, what USA, what Britain was like. And when I got to Britain, when I was in Ghana, I was born in Mani, fooling around. I didn't want to learn. I didn't study. Mani was there. But then when I got to Britain, I quickly realized, hold on, in this country to make it, you got to go to school. Nobody told me to go and enroll to study. And so the British lifestyle became my path. And you see, I like to study because of the exposure to the British lifestyle and the culture. In Britain, everybody wants to learn something to become good. And so when I even went to the seminary, we spent a lot of time studying. What am I trying to say? I began to take on the lifestyle of Britain in order to survive there. Right? Now, when we decided to leave Britain and come to USA, I didn't bring Britain with me. When I came to... As a matter of fact, when I tried the British ways a few times here, I realized, hold on, I'm not going to survive this way. So I had to leave Britain. My mother, my father, all my sisters are in Britain. I call them sometimes and we talk, but I'm busy focusing on what is here. Jesus wanted to point to them that, look, in order for you to come into this kingdom, you got to be willing to leave your kingdom behind. You've got, and to experience God the way he's supposed to be experienced, you have to really be willing to leave your human ways behind. The kingdom's ways are not our ways. And so you and I must begin to take up the kingdom ways. And it is written in the Bible. Many of us have become children of God. We have so-called accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior. We are living for Jesus, but yet still, we are the same people. We do the same things that we were doing 15 years ago. Please, in this 2020 world that you are in order for you to begin to experience the kingdom of God like it's supposed to be, you cannot continue the same way that you were living in 2019. The things that you battled with, the way you lived your life anyhow, mediocre life, lackadaisic, anything came your way. No, you can't. You have to make a decision not to do that anymore. So leave it behind. Repent. Repent. Jesus is saying, repent. Turn away and begin to experience God. And so you need to begin to search yourself. What is it at all about me that does not allow me to experience this kingdom? And you need to put it all aside. You need to leave it all behind. You see, it means that we have to be renewed from our mind. Romans 12 verse 2. Romans 12 verse 2. Please, if you have your Bibles, do go there. Romans 12 verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That you may prove that which is good. You have to be renewed of your mind. My dear brother and my sister, you see, to worship this God that we are calling upon, the God that is revealed in three persons, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we have to be renewed from our mind. Transformation must begin within us and begin to show outwardly. If the inward transformation is not done, the physical appearance would never also be perfect. Repent. And so he went ahead and saying, believe. Believe. And so I took some time to break down what belief. I looked at the dictionary. You see, Merriam-Webster defines belief as to accept something as true, genuine, or real deal. Then I went to my English a bit. I went to the British people, took Cambridge by a Cambridge dictionary. And look at what the Cambridge dictionary says. To think that something is true, correct, or real. Jesus is saying, repent, believe in the kingdom. Repent, believe in the gospel. And so these English writings here are very good. They help us to understand that believe means to, you know, truly accept something or to be genuine, as I understand that this thing is genuine and is good for me. But the word that Jesus used that is translated belief is pistio. It goes way beyond the way the English define belief. It means that you begin a relationship of trust and dependency. So Jesus is saying, it is not just about knowing that this thing is good for you. You have to begin to really come to this place of totally depending on this thing. Giving your all to this. It has to be a relationship of dependency. I know that the kingdom is the way for me, and I have to totally depend on it for everything. But Jesus did not end there. You see, many believers believe the gospel. We believe that Jesus came, he died, he was buried. Some of us even battle with that. Oh, how can someone die and raise on the third day? I tell you, if you hear the arguments going on about the whole thing about the gospel, you'll be amazed. But some people believe, and I'm sure many of us, all of us here seated here, believe that Jesus came to die. But that is not what Jesus is saying here. When he used the word pistio, he's literally saying that you have to believe in it. It's okay to believe it exists, but when you say, I believe in this, that is a whole totally new ball game here. And many believers, even though we believe in the gospel being that Jesus Christ died, he was buried, and he rose from the dead on the third day, and he's ascended to heaven, seated on the right hand side of God. We have to now believe in God. We have to believe in Jesus. So basically, the whole worship, the whole Christian lifestyle, the whole human being that really wants to begin to honor this great God, this great creator, our God, must begin to really understand that they need to accept Jesus as the real deal. You and I must believe in Jesus for everything. It must be a relationship of dependency. Jesus came to die for me, and I totally leave my totality into his hands. My eating, my resting, my whatever, my wife, my husband, my children, my car, my look, all the things that are on your mind, they have to be that it is dependent on Jesus. But it is not like that with you and I. Many times we try to do things our own way. You want to live a life that is free from sin? It's dependent on Jesus. You cannot set yourself free from the power, the sins that you battle in your house. You can, as a matter of fact, if any of us could set ourselves free, we would have started a new look. We would have started a new business by now, setting yourself free according to the gospel of Kwesi Bans. None of us could set ourselves free apart from Jesus. Our sustenance, our living, our provision, our hope, our freedom, our salvation, all that we think about is dependent on Jesus. You've got to now begin to trust in him for everything. You've got to believe that it is the way. Jesus is the way and nothing else. And you see, the moment a believer, the moment you begin to worship God like this, which is based on Jesus alone, the ball game changes. True worship begins from there. Jesus dying. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When I was coming to USA, I looked at my wife, told her, hey, go to your company. Book the most expensive airline ticket for us. Let's go to business class. Hey. And we booked business class. My first time sitting in business class. Come and see me there. Everything that was passing. I asked the lady, what is this? What is that? Give me some of this. Give me too. I have to enjoy some. My coming here was a ticket from my work, my wife's workplace. But you see, now I'm in USA. I have come to understand that there is a kingdom that is important than USA. And the kingdom of God's ticket is in Jesus Christ. If I don't buy the Jesus ticket, forget worshiping this true God. So you and I, whatever we have placed in our life, whatever is important in our life than Jesus, we need to go back and begin to reflect on that. Because if that thing is important to you than Jesus, then you are not worshiping this God. God bless you. God make his face shine upon you. I pray that you begin to really turn away from your ways. Please take some time to pray. Please take some time to pray. And talk to this God. Talk to this God.